Today is Erev Shabbos, Parshas Nitzavim, Tov Shin Pei Aleph. And my rabbi, Rabbi Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha, would always tell us at this time that this is going to be the last Shabbos of the year, the final Shabbos of the year, which means that it's an opportunity for us to be able to repair, to correct anything we might have done wrong in any of the Shabbosim of the entire year. This is a great opportunity that if a person tries their best to do it right, it could be considered a tshuva for the entire year, all the Shabbosim of the year. And all the Sfarim, especially the Sifrei Chassidus, usually write that the Parsha, the portion of the Torah that we read on a particular week, is very much connected and gives us very important insights about what's related to that week. This coming week we have Rosh Hashanah. Monday is Erev Rosh Hashanah. We have 2 days Rosh Hashanah. So the Parsha of the week has to have very important messages and advice and guidance regarding what Rosh Hashanah is all about. It begins with the words, with Atem Nitzovim Hayoim Lifnei Hashem Olikechim. Moshe Rabbeinu, this is one of the rare instances where Moshe Rabbeinu is addressing all of Klal Yisrael. And not just all of Klal Yisrael, we'll see in a moment, he's addressing not just those that are present, but also those that aren't even present. He says, you are standing here today before Hashem. Who is the you? And he lists 10 categories, starting from the top of the top to the bottom of the bottom. He begins with the word Roshechem, your leaders, the top, the chiefs, Ziknechem, the elders, and goes on to say Shiftechem, Ziknechem, Koil Ish Yisrael. Everyone is included, no exceptions. And then he continues, Tapchem, the small children, Neshechem, your wives, and he continues again further, listing Gercho Asher Bisharecha, the converts. So he's not leaving anything to the imagination, making it perfectly clear that this time, Rosh Hashanah, is something that applies to all 10 levels of Klal Yisrael, from top to bottom. And he finishes with the words, V'gercho Asher B'sharecho, and the converts. But which converts? We know that there are good converts and there are less good converts. There are converts that make it, that stand the tests, because Rav Nosson Zal writes that converts and Balei Tshuva usually have to go through a lot. Every Jew goes through a lot, but Balei Tshuva and converts go through much more. So there are those converts that are zeichet to pass all those tests, to stick it out and to make it to the finish line, and there are many that don't. So here he says, V'gercha Hashem b'sharecha, mechoitev etzecha ad shoyev memecha, including those converts who came with a lack of sincerity. They weren't sincere. Rashi HaKodesh points out that these were Knanim who came and they were not sincere about their commitment to Yiddishkeit, to Judaism. And Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see this up front, and therefore he made a condition with them that we are not accepting you unless you agree to accept the lowest positions. You're going to be woodcutters and water carriers. If you're willing to accept that, we'll let you in, and if not, not. Because he saw a lack of sincerity on their part. So first of all, this tells us something extremely important about Rosh Hashanah. We know that Achdus, unity, inclusion, in Judaism is a very important point. We say in Shmon Esrei, Ki ato shomea tfilas kol peh amcha Yisrael, you Hashem listen to the prayers of all the entire Jewish people, berachamim, with kindness. How does that kindness of Hashem get turned on? What do we do to activate the kindness of Hashem when we need it? The word berachamim is bigimatria betzibur, exactly. The word berachamim is 298, and the word tzibur is 298. That one of the ways that we ensure that we're able to initiate, to activate Hashem's kindness is when there's tzibur. What is tzibur? The tzaddik stands for tzaddikim, the bey stands for beinonim, the vav resh stands for urishoim. That when Jews get together, and there's not just one type, but everyone is represented from top to bottom. That's one of the ways that we ensure, that's one of the things that arouses Hashem's kindness. We know the Gemara says that a yochid, the tefillah of a yochid, when an individual person prays to Hashem, there's all kinds of examinations whereby angels are being given permission to examine the prayer and to disqualify it possibly for all kinds of reasons. There are many things that could disqualify a person's prayer. But the Gemara says that when it's a tefillah of a tzibur, when there's 10 or more people getting together to daven, the pasuk says, "Hein kel kabir velo yimas," that a tefillah of a group will not be rejected by Hashem. So one of the critical messages here that the parsha is starting off with is to know that Rosh Hashanah is a time where we're looking for a large group. We know the Shulchan Aruch tells us that even throughout the year, if a person has a choice of where to pray or where to learn, numbers are very important. That if a person is, if there's one shul that has 100 people and another shul that has 20 people, as long as you have 10 or more, you fit all the requirements. You can say Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch Hu, everything. And the Gemara does say, Akol be'asora shchinta sharya, that when there's any group of 10 people, the divine presence of Hashem is there. In fact, the Tikkuni Zohar reveals that if you count the numbers from 1 to 10, 1 times 1 plus 2 times 2 plus 3 times 3 up to 10, it's Bigimatria Shechina, the word Shechina, 385, the divine presence of Hashem. So 10 or more, the divine presence of Hashem is there. However, there's a difference. There's a pasuk, Beroiv Om Hadras Melech, that the beauty of the king, the beauty and the real respect for the king is Beroiv Om, when there's many people present, the more people. So that even throughout the year, if a person has a choice of getting together with a small gathering or a large gathering, there is a significance to quantity. Quantity makes a difference. There's an element of quality also. There's an element of quality which sometimes is an overriding priority. The Shulchan Aruch says, for example, in Yoredeya, that we know one of the most important mitzvahs in the Torah is respect for parents. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Kabed esovicha vesimecha. And yet the Shulchan Aruch says that if a father tells his son that I want you to come pray with me, I pray in an Orthodox shul, they follow all the mitzvahs of the Torah, and it's important to me to have my son with me when I'm praying. It's a respect for a parent. A parent feels proud and good when they're coming to shul, not alone, when their children are with them. The Pischei Tshuva in Yoredeya writes that if the son knows that in a different shul, he'll be able to pray much better, and his connection to Hashem will be a more powerful connection, then the son should go to the shul where they feel that their prayer will be better. This is a very, very significant thing. We're talking about one of the Ten Commandments, and we're talking possibly about hurting someone's feeling, not just someone, but someone, a parent, who brought you into the world, and who gave you food and clothing and took care of you, a mother who carried you for 9 months, and all the difficulties, tsar gidul bonim, what parents go through in order to raise a child. It's not simple. And yet there's a certain significance, a certain importance for a person searching. Every single Jew, every single boy and girl has to search, where is my connection to Hashem? Where is my connection to Hashem? Now the Baal Shem Tov says, there's a pasuk that we say in Halil, a pasuk in Tehillim, Zeh Hashar LaHashem. You want to know what's the gateway to Hashem? What's the entranceway to Hashem? Tzadikim. That's the Shar LaHashem. That's the gateway to Hashem. That through Tzadikim, Yovoy Uvoy, you'll be able to get to Hashem. So here again, a very important factor in a person being able to connect to Hashem and get close to Hashem is tzaddikim. We know that, for example, in the beginning of time, when the world got to such a terrible state that Hashem made a decision to wipe out, to destroy the entire world, there was an exception. The exception to that was Noach Ish Tzadik. The Torah says that there was a person who was a tzaddik, and even though very often there's a rule that when Hashem gives the angel of death permission, go kill, in a city, for example, the tzaddikim are instructed to hide, to stay inside. Because when Hashem gives the mashchis, when Hashem gives the destroyer permission to destroy, there are times when he will not differentiate between righteous people and not righteous people. He's given a blank check. And yet, when it comes to the Mabul, where Hashem decided to erase the entire world, there was an exception. Who was the exception? The exception was the tzaddik. The tzaddik, Noach Ish Tzaddik. Who else? Those who were attached to the tzaddik. His wife, his children, whoever was attached to the tzaddik was saved. Whoever wasn't was not saved. They were destroyed, and Hashem started the world over again. So we see that there's incredible importance and significance to searching for a tzaddik, to finding the tzaddik, and to getting close to the tzaddik, to making sure you're in close proximity. Because again, there was a teva, there was an ark. And in that ark, the only ones who were saved were the ones who were with Noach at the time. Rav Nosson Zal points out in Likutei Halachos, he says it very clearly, that there's no question at all that all of those generations that led up to the flood, where things got worse and worse, there were tzaddikim at the time. There was a mesushelach, there were other tzaddikim, and had the people made an effort to come close to the tzaddik, there never would have been a flood. It only came to pass because they weren't aware or they ignored the fact that there's a tzaddik, and when there's a tzaddik, I have to search for him and I have to try to connect with him. So this again is one of the very important points now. In this parsha, Nitzavim, we're speaking about the 10 categories, we're speaking about a minyan, we're speaking about Beroiv Om, a significance to a large crowd. There could be a large crowd, but a person wants a crowd where there are tzaddikim, beinonim, and rishon, where all elements are represented. The Arizal tells us that when a person starts the day and they're going to enter into the three prayers of the day, Shachris, Mincha, Maariv, one of the key factors to ensuring that my prayer will be accepted by Hashem is to attach myself to all 600,000 Jews. How do you do that? By saying, Hareini mekabel olai mitzvah sasei shov yohavta l'reicha kamoicha. What do you mean? It's in the Torah, all of it. I'm accepting this mitzvah. There's a significance to saying it, that your ears should hear what you're saying, and I'm making a declaration, I'm announcing it to the world, that I hereby declare that I'm taking this opportunity before I pray, because again, I know that a prayer of an individual can be disqualified for many different reasons. But a tefillah of a tzibur, a tefillah of a large group of people, that's not rejected. And here the Arizal says that by saying this and realizing what I'm saying, that I hereby declare that I'm accepting upon myself the mitzvah to love every Jew like I love myself, that this is a guarantee. This is one of the things that guarantees the effectiveness of a person's tefillah. There's a name of Hashem, one of the very holy names of Hashem. It's called the name of 42, the Shem Mem Beis, which consists of the first letters of Ana Bechoach. There's a famous prayer that we say it in Karbonis and Shachris. We'll say it tonight, Friday night, before Lecha Doidi, Ana Bechoach. It's called the special secret of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona, one of the greatest rabbis of the Gemara. And that name of Hashem consists of seven lines, six words in each line. It's 42 words. The first letter of each word is what contributes to this name of Hashem. The last line, the final line in that name of Hashem is Shavoseinu Kabel. Hashem, accept our prayer, Ushma Tzakaseinu, and listen to our cry, Yodea Talumos, you Hashem who know all secrets, who know all hidden things. The first letters of Shavoseinu, Kabel, Ushma Tzakaseinu, Yodea Talumos makes up this secret name of Hashem, this very powerful name of Hashem, which has the same exact numerical value as the pasuk in the Torah, V'yohafta l'reyecha kamocha ani Hashem. That Hashem says, this is critical, this is so important. And this again, this is one of the reasons why we're here, because here there's a gathering of many different types of Jews. It's quite possible that every single different type of Jew in existence in the world is represented here. So many different countries, so many different types, and a person looking around and thinking about this and realizing that I need to connect to everyone here in order to help to ensure that my prayer will find favor in the eyes of Hashem. This is again one of the critical elements in why we're here in Rosh Hashanah, the effectiveness of Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah is not an easy deal. We know that Rosh Hashanah is the day in which man was created. It's our birthday. Everyone's birthday is Rosh Hashanah, because the first human being, Adam and Chava, were created on Aleph Tishrei. The word Bereshis, it says, in the beginning, Hashem created heaven and earth. The word Bereshis is Be'Aleph Tishrei. On the first of Tishrei, Hashem created heaven and earth. No, he didn't. He created it 6 days before that. However, heaven and earth, every single one of us is heaven and earth. Every single one of us is comprised of two pieces, a body, which is earthly, Ofer Menu Adama, and a soul, which is the highest of the highest, above everything, is the Jewish soul. So on Aleph Tishrei, Hashem created Adam, man, us, and on that day, we broke all the rules. All the rules. There's three rules in the Torah, for which the Torah says these are the only ones, which if a person is told, violate this, otherwise I'll kill you, a person should allow themselves to be killed rather than to violate that crime. And those are idol worship, adultery, sins with women, and murder. And the Sfarim explain that when Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, this was a violation of all three of these areas. Number one, it brought death to the world. We're not talking about murdering one person. All the deaths from 5,781 years ago till today were initiated on that first day, on Rosh Hashanah, on Aleph Tishrei, is when Hashem gave the green light that human beings will have to die. So that's Shfichas Damim of all of humanity. Avodah Zorah, we say in the Kriya Shema, Vesartem, that turning away from Hashem is called Vavadatem Elokim Acherim. The slightest turn away from Hashem, the slightest deviation from Hashem, is turning towards idol worship. So when Hashem said, don't eat from this, and they did eat from this, that's Avodah Zorah. That's turning away from Hashem. And Gilui Arayos, for this we have to delve a little bit deeper. We're told that Adam and Chava were created on Friday, on the sixth day of creation. And Hashem's intent was for them to wait till Shabbos, which is the holiest day of the week, which is pure holiness, Shabbos. And had they united, had they come together on Shabbos, everything would have been perfect. The fact that they didn't wait till Shabbos, the fact that they united before Shabbos, was considered an aspect of Pigama Bris. It meant something defective in the unity. We know that tonight, Friday night, all of us hopefully are going to go to shul, and everybody's invited to go to all the, Baruch Hashem, there's many shuls here, Kanai Nahara. Everyone is invited to make sure you're in shul and you join all the people here. And we're going to say tonight, V'shamru v'nei Yisrael es HaShabbos. The Jewish people are shamru es HaShabbos. What does lishmor mean? The word lishmor in Hebrew has at least two meanings. Lishmor means to guard, to watch. And the word lishmor means to wait for. It says that by Yosef HaTzadik, when Yosef HaTzadik told his dreams to his brothers, when his father heard about it, it says, Va'aviv shomar es hadovar. His father shomared this. Rashi says there, he was waiting. Yaakov Avinu knew that these dreams aren't necessarily going to come true tomorrow, but he knew Yosef HaTzadik. He knew that if he waits, all of these dreams are gonna reveal themselves as being 100% true. So one of the important things about Shabbos is waiting for Shabbos. The Gemara tells us, when do you start waiting for Shabbos? From Sunday. A Jew who wants to be a good Jew, from Sunday. Sunday morning we say, Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos. Today is day one. It's a countdown. We're counting towards Shabbos because Shabbos is wall-to-wall holiness and the weekdays aren't. So I'm waiting anxiously. And when I go shopping during the week, if I see anything special, that's for Shabbos. I'm going to put that aside. I'm going to save that for Shabbos. And if I see something more special, I'll switch it for Shabbos. So the fact that Adam and Chava didn't wait was considered an aspect of Pegam HaBris, so that all three major sins were violated on that first day, on Aleph Tishrei, on Rosh Hashanah. So we came into this world on Rosh Hashanah, we broke all the rules on Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, it's a very important day. That's one of the reasons why this is the day of judgment. This is the day when Hashem establishes a Bezdin, a court. And the Gemara says three books are opened up on Rosh Hashanah. Hashem opens up three books on Rosh Hashanah. Two of them are closed on Rosh Hashanah also. One of them remains open until Yom Kippur. The Tzaddikim and the Rishoyim are signed and sealed on Rosh Hashanah. The middle people, the middle of the road people, are given 10 days to decide. Can't stay in the middle. There's no such thing as staying in the middle. You're either going right, or if you're not going right, you're going left. Rabbi Nizal writes, if a person isn't going up, if a person isn't trying to get closer to Hashem every day, then they're going down, chas v'shalom. If a person thinks that in Judaism, there's an option of putting it in park, that I got to a certain level, Baal Tshuva, I became religious, I learn a little bit every day, I try to do some mitzvahs every day. If a person isn't prepared to try to grow every day, to try to learn new things and accept new levels of closeness to Hashem, closeness to Tzaddikim, they're missing a very important part here. The Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that all of our souls were part of Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon was a composite of all the souls of all of mankind. The Sifrei Kabbalah reveal a secret that there are a few souls who jumped ship, who are on such a high level that when they saw this coming, when they saw that Adam HaRishon and Chava were about to go against the command of Hashem and eat from that Eitz Hadas, they left. And they did not participate in the eating of the Eitz Hadas, which means that they maintained a level of purity way above all of us. These are the greatest of tzaddikim, the highest level of tzaddikim, who one aspect of their holiness is the fact that they were not included in the Pigam of the Eitz Hadas. Just like, for example, if you look in the Chumash and you study the story of the eating of the Eitz Hadas, you'll see that four out of the five senses participated. It says she listened, Chava heard what the snake said. She looked at the fruit of the tree. She saw it was beautiful. She took from the fruit of the tree and she tasted and she ate. Four out of the five senses participated. The sense of smell was not included in the sin of the Eitz Hadas. This is why our superhero, Moshiach, the one who's going to be the antidote to the snake. The snake was the one who brought all of this horror to the world, this Holocaust to the world. The antidote to the snake is Moshiach. The word Nachash, Nun Ches Shin, is 358. Moshiach is 358. What gives him the ability to be able to challenge the snake? That the snake didn't touch him. He was not touched by the snake. Moshiach is called Ruach Apeinu, Moshiach Hashem, the spirit of our nostrils. Ruach Apeinu, Moshiach Hashem. And that's what gives him a unique power to be able to erase, complete the erasure, complete erasure, the damage that was done to the snake, the death that was brought to the world, the suffering, the problems, everything, and to lead us to the final complete redemption. That's Mashiach. This is also why on Saturday night, we know that the 6 days of the week are compared to this world. This world is programmed to last a maximum of 6,000 years. And we know that Hashem's day is like 1,000 years. Ki elef shon minechya nesmoel. Shabbos is referred to as me'ein olam haba, a taste of the future world. That when Shabbos comes, a Jew who observes Shabbos properly, a person who tries to go to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos to purify myself, to wash away any stains, to strip myself of all the physicality of the 6 days of the week, and to prepare myself to enter into a higher realm, a whole new realm of Olam Haba, and a person tries to enjoy the Shabbos, to have simcha, to sing on Shabbos, to be happy, to reserve special food, special eating and drinking on Shabbos, a holier sleep on Shabbos, and the special prayers. On Friday night, we have a lechodoidi. We're singing. On Shabbos morning, we have kelodoin. We're singing, which we're not necessarily doing in the same manner during the week. A person's allowed to sing even during the weekdays. We have psuke de zimra. A person should be singing. But on Shabbos, we take it to another level, public singing. We have musicians, special people with extraordinary talents who can elevate thousands of people. And the Shliach Tzibur on Shabbos has a special responsibility to be able to elevate, to include all the people and get everybody into that Olam Haba mode, into that new world. So and the Gemara tells us that a Jew who observes Shabbos has an additional soul, in addition to the regular soul of the weekdays, a special soul of Shabbos. What is a soul? A soul is the sense of smell. The Gemara says that there's one item that the soul benefits and not the body, and that's smell, the sense of smell. Koil haneshomo tahal el ko. For what item is there that the soul is blessing Hashem? The Gemara says that's the sense of smell. And that's why on Saturday night, when that soul leaves and there's a tremendous drop in the person, we were connected to Mashiach. Mashiach is Ruach HaPein. We were in Olam Haba. We were almost there. And now it's over. We're going back to the 6 days of the week. We smell besamim. We take the besamim to restore the soul, to give the soul a consolation that we're still connected. We're still connected. We're not letting go completely from that. Now the question is there a way for us to connect to Mashiach before Mashiach comes? Is there any mitzvah, is there any avoida, service of Hashem, that's also the nose, that's also this sense of smell? Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbi Nachman addresses this in chapter 2 in Likutei Moran, and he quotes the Zohar HaKadosh, which says that where does Mashiach get his energy from? From the nose, from the nostrils. And tefillah, prayer, is also called a concept of the nose. Rabbi Nizal quotes a pasuk, "Utehilasi, my prayer, echdam loch. I send up through the power of the nose." Rabbi Nizal and the Arizal all teach us that every mitzvah that a Jew does is a tikkun. It's repairing the world. It's repairing the person's soul. Out of all the mitzvahs that are able to do that most effectively, it's tefillah, it's prayer. The Arizal says this, Rabbi Nizal says this, all the holy books emphasize this. And again, this is what we're here for. This is what Rosh Hashanah is about. Rabbi Nosson Zal writes that even those people who throughout the year are spending most of their day learning the Koilalim and everything, they all come to shul on Rosh Hashanah, and they're spending most of the time in prayer. Most of the time, there's much, much longer prayers than throughout the year. Why? The Torah, it says, V'talmud Torah keneged kulam. The Torah makes it clear in many places that the most valuable, the most powerful mitzvah is learning Torah. It's true. You know what? You know what makes Torah so special? That Torah enhances our prayers. Rabbeinu Zal starts with the Likutei Moran with the words, Da ki al yedei ha-Torah niskablin kol hatfilos. That the study of Torah, when a person is studying Torah, it teaches you how to pray, what to pray for, and it infuses your prayer with chen, with grace. There's all kinds of elements that a person needs in order for the prayer to be effective. And one of the most important ones is chen, to have grace, that the prayer should be pleasing, it should be sweet in the eyes of Hashem. And one of the things that adds that element is Torah. So the Torah is very important. And on Rosh Hashanah, we're not exempt from studying Torah. On the contrary, whenever a person has time, before davening, after davening, not during davening. That's a very delicate point that the Shulchan Aruch warns, that when you're davening, you're davening. If there's a break during the prayer, or if a person finishes praying much earlier than the chazanah, something like that, maybe they can look into a little Torah, but it's extremely important not to insult the prayer. There are people who come to shul, for example, on a Friday night, and they bring a gemara, or some people bring six gemaras, so that while we're... Because this praying thing is for girls. Praying is for people who don't know how to learn, they pray. That's what they do. But there's a misconception there. Because again, Rabbi Nizal says that the reason why we're learning is to be able to pray so that our prayers will be effective. We know that we bring a Sefer Torah in a shul. One of the most important things in the shul is the Sefer Torah, the Heichal. And we take out the Torah in the middle of praying. A person would say, that's an insult to the Sefer Torah. What do you mean? If Torah is so much more important than tefillah, then you want to keep them apart, you want to keep them separate. No, we don't. We take out the Sefer Torah in middle of praying to show that this is one of the critical ingredients in our prayers, in the effectiveness of our prayers. The Gemara quotes a pasuk, Meisir oznoi mishmoya Torah, a person who turns away from listening to Torah, gam tfilosoi toyeva, that person's prayer is disgusting, despicable. That's how critical it is. That's how important it is for us to devote quality time to learning Torah. Before praying, after praying, and we even take out the Torah in the middle of prayer. A person would say, this is confusing, especially on Rosh Hashanah. There are people that are bothered by this, that it makes the prayers longer. There are people who on Rosh Hashanah, one of the things, the research they do is, where do I get out earlier? Which shul is going to get me out earlier? Rabbi Nachman mentions that in Likutei Moran. He says that one of the outstanding forms of disrespect, one of the ways that a person can show outstanding disrespect for Hashem and disrespect for prayer, is by wanting to get it over with. It's a terrible mistake, because the word tefillah in Hebrew means attachment, connection, dveikus. When Naftali was born, it says, Naftule Elohim Niftalti, Rachel Imenu says. Rashi says there that his mother Rachel was saying, now I'm attached, now I'm in. Before I didn't have children, and my maidservant didn't have children, so I wasn't connected. Now I'm connected. The word Naftuli is Naftali Miloshin Tfila. The Tfila is a very deep connection to Hashem. So we're here now, all the 10 groups of Klal Yisrael are gathering here. We're coming to the tzaddik, not just a tzaddik, but the area where Rabbi Nizal is buried. There were tens of thousands of Jews who were given a choice. There was a cross set up, and they were told, if you bow to the cross, you live. If you don't bow to the cross, there's going to be a massacre here. And the massacre went on for 3 days. For 3 days, these, we don't want to call them animals because it would be insulting the animals. Animals don't kill for nothing. An animal kills if it wants to eat. These were much worse than animals. They killed just for the sake of murdering Jews, because they were Jewish, because they were showing their allegiance to Hashem. And Rabbi Nizal chose to be buried among these kedoshim. So when we're standing here by Rabbi Nizal's kever, we know that Rabbi Nizal is here. Rav Nosson Zal, his closest student, for those of us who have a special connection to Rav Nosson Zal, Rav Nosson Zal said, you don't have to come to my kever. If you want me, I'll be there. I'll be in Uman right near Rabbi Nachman, like I was during his lifetime. And Rav Nosson Zal once said, once on Rosh Hashanah, when they were praying, and the prayers were breslov prayers, we know that Rabbi Nosson Zal made a statement that whether you daven or not, whether you eat or not, whether you're going to sleep or not, come to me for Rosh Hashanah. Implying that in coming to Rabbi Nachman for Rosh Hashanah, you might not have such a good prayer. But for those people who believe that coming here was a great idea, that it's a good thing to do, usually it's quite possible that this might be the best prayer of your whole life. Or you'll get to see people. You'll get to see people, men with earrings and other people, and you'll be able to learn from them how to pray. You'll see praying. There are Rosh Yeshivas who have come here, and they saw people totally non-religious praying, and they were ashamed and embarrassed that here I'm a Rosh Yeshiva, I've been religious my whole life, and I wish I could pray like that. I wish I could cry in praying. I wish I could say it with that kind of sincerity. So a person will see praying here with Hashem's help if you open your eyes and if you're looking for good. Every person has a choice. If a person wants to see faults, they'll see faults. The pasuk says about Hashem, Lo yichibit oven b'Yaakov. Hashem does not look for the flaws in the Jews. He looks for the good points. That's what Hashem does. And the tzaddikim do the same thing. Rav Nosson Zal emphasizes this over and over, that the tzaddikim are the ones who see the good points in everyone. They gather those good points and they build castles. They build a mishkan from it. When Moshe Rabbeinu built the mishkan, how did he do it? He invited everyone, kol nediv lev. Anyone who wants to give is welcome. No exclusions, everyone is welcome, and all different. One person bought gold, one person silver, one person wood, one person wool. No two people are alike, and we're not supposed to be alike. Hashem created all of us unique. Each person is bringing their unique gift to this production. We should be zoche that each and every one of us should contribute what we have to give. Number one, the greatest emphasis in all of Rabbeinu Zal's forum is emuna. The term emuna, kol mitzvoisecho emuna. Emuna means believing in Hashem. Emuna means believing in the Torah. Emuna means believing in tzaddikim. And emuna means believing in yourself, believing in you, that you are important. And if Rabbi Nachman didn't need you, you wouldn't be here. All of us, anyone who is here because Hashem understood and Rabbi Nachman understood that he needs you. He needs each and every one of us. Rabbi Nachman makes it very clear in his teachings. We need the tzaddik and the tzaddik needs us. When Moshe Rabbeinu was up in heaven after the Torah was given on Har Sinai, and Moshe went up to heaven for 40 days, and when the Jews made a big mistake, well, we made a big mistake, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, go down, leave. Why leave? Because Hashem said, all the greatness I gave you, this invitation that you got to come up here to heaven, was for them. It was for them, for the Jewish people. If they're down, you're down. So if they're down, you're down. And if we are up, the tzaddik is up. If each and every one of us will make every effort possible to be up. And remember, Yiddishkeit has two parts to it. There's two divisions in Yiddishkeit. And many people forget and many people choose to be 50% Jewish. And 50% usually isn't a passing grade. There's Bein Odom Lamokoim, my devotion to Hashem, my tefillah, my Torah, and there's Bein Odom L'chaveroi. There's looking out for every other Jew, being concerned for every other person. And both are equally important, equally important. We're told that when the Jews worshipped the Egel HaZahav, they worshipped the golden calf. This was the most incredible audacity, chutzpah. We just stood under the wedding with Hashem. Har Sinai was a wedding. And in the Sheva Brachas, we're taking idols. Hashem did not destroy the Jewish nation. He didn't wipe out anybody. There were people killed, but not the majority survived. However, when there was disunity, when there was a lack of respect, when there was a lack of respect among Jews, when there was sinas chinam, unjustified, unwarranted hate, Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim, millions of Jews died, the Gemara says, millions. So there's a big difference there, a major difference. The Zohar HaKadosh gives the example. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Yerov, and we'll close with this, Yerovam ben Nevat was standing at an altar bringing sacrifices to idols. And Hashem sent a Navi, a prophet, a tzaddik, Ido HaNavi, to deliver a message to warn him that he's getting close to the finish line, that if he doesn't stop his ways, he's going to be in big trouble. So Idoi Hanavi came, and he started delivering his message, and Yeravam picked up his hand to smack him. And the Navi says he picked up his hand, and there was no more hand. The hand disappeared. It became a small piece of skin attached to his shoulder. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, look at this. Look at this. He's bringing sacrifices to Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, as long as there's idols in the world, the anger of Hashem is in the world. Kol zman sheyesh Avodah Zarah boilam, charon af boilam. But there's a control. Hashem controls the anger. He's willing to wait. He doesn't pull the trigger yet. But the second he lifted up his hand to a tzaddik, instant response, real time, immediate punishment on the spot. And the Zohar Kodesh says, from here we see that Hashem is more concerned about respect for the tzaddik than he is respect for himself. So those people who take issue with making such a big deal about the tzaddik, going to the tzaddik and tzaddik and tzaddik for Hashem, what about Hashem? What about Hashem? We're coming to the tzaddik to get close to Hashem. We're not forgetting about Hashem at all. The whole purpose of coming to tzaddikim is that they are the closest ones, and they're the ones who know how to help us come close to Hashem, how to help us improve. Hashem should help that all of us should be zeichet to be on, to be happy, to be thrilled that we're here. Rosh Hashanah is not a day of sadness. It says clearly in the Navi, Al teyatzevu. Do not be depressed, do not be sad, ki chedvas Hashem himoushem, because your joy with Hashem, your simcha, is your strength. And that pasuk was said by one of the prophets on Rosh Hashanah, to be happy. Today is Erev Shabbos, all of us are getting ready for the final Shabbos of the year, for the best Shabbos of our lives, hopefully. When did we ever have a Shabbos with 10 plus thousands of Jews who have all made tremendous sacrifices to come here, and all of our sacrifices are tiny compared to our wives and children who aren't here, who aren't here. What about all of their sacrifices, all of their mesiras nefesh? And hopefully the husbands are going to come back new and improved, and the shalom bayis is going to be new and improved. We should be zeichet to get all the merits of being here. All of us should work together, to work together, to know that every person here is extremely important, in order for this to work. And we should be zeichet together to see the Geula Shleima, the coming of Moshiach, the building of the Beis Hamikdash, Mehera B'Yameinu, Amen V'Amen.